Anybody know anybody that gets offended? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Okay, there we go. You know, the great Duke Ellington in Ken Burns' PBS series on jazz music, the great Duke Ellington was asked how he managed to survive and thrive, great jazz musician, in an age of segregation. He wasn't even allowed to stay in the same hotel as his band was staying in because he was a black man. And he had to endure all kinds of segregationist ideas and really just had a lot of opposition. And to quote him, he said, "I took the energy it takes to pout and I wrote some blues." You know, the question in life is not whether you're going to be offended. You're going to get offended. The question is, what do you do with it? How do you handle it? How do you react to it? How do you come about with it? I read a blooper bulletin announcement this week. It said, low self-esteem group meeting Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then it had in parentheses, please use back doors. How many of you know somebody might have got offended by that one? Well, you know, there are people that are easily offended that you have to walk on eggshells around because they just seem to take everything the wrong way personally, and you got to be careful and you just brace yourself for explosions. There are other people who have developed a hard shell around their lives who just refuse to be offended, but they take it to almost an extreme where their attitude is one of, I don't care. Nothing's going to bother me. And you know that it does, but somehow they're managed to bury that deep inside and just kind of deal with it in there internally. And that's not good either. You know, the Bible talks about being offended. It talks about having our feelings hurt. It talks about that. And I want to talk about it because it is such a magnified problem in today's culture, is this issue of offense. The power of being offended is very strong. It says in Proverbs 18:19, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. There are whole television programs that they're called reality shows. I call them irreality shows. But there are whole programs that revolve around the idea of being offended and being hurt and arguing and fighting and drama and all of that kind of stuff. And if you're watching those programs, let me give you a little bit of pastoral advice. Stop it. It gets into your mind. It gets into your heart, especially young people. Don't allow that kind of dramatic stupidity to get into your life. Watch something else. Watch Tom and Jerry cartoons. Watch The Three Stooges. Well, there's a little drama in there too, isn't there? But just be careful what you allow yourself to get caught up into. And maybe some of you have lived through this. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. That's true, isn't it? I know that there are probably a lot of people in here today that have either been offended or offended somebody in some way, and it's broken a relationship, it's broken a family relationship, it's broken a business relationship, it's broken friendships, and you find that it's hard to get it back. And sometimes things are never the same again after that happens. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Being offended does three specific things to your life. If you live in offense, if you allow offense to be part of your life and you coddle it and you nurse it and you let it live in your heart and your life, it does three specific things to you. First of all, it leads to bitterness and unforgiveness. Unresolved offense will always lead to bitterness and unforgiveness. That's just the way it goes. It's a trick of the enemy in order to break up relationships and to keep people at arm's length and just kind of steal the joy out of your life. The second thing that it does is that it stifles spiritual growth. You really cannot grow if you're living an offended life. If you're allowing offense to dwell in your heart and in your life, your spiritual growth is not going to happen. You're going to be stymied. As a matter of fact, I would say you're probably going to go in regression. And, you know, perhaps you're here this morning and, you know, we just had a wonderful time of worship, some great songs and the Christmas season and all of that kind of thing that we're doing right now. But maybe you're here and you just could not get your heart into it. Maybe there's an offense in your life that's holding you back from worshiping the way that you want to worship. You know, the enemy has a great trick of keeping that offense keeps in the forefront of our minds. Everything revolves around it. Everything comes back to it. You're always reminded of it over and over again. Because if you keep your eyes on that offended brother and sister, I'm being very careful not to focus on anybody here. If you keep your mind on that brother or sister that has offended you, what don't you have your eyes on? God, Jesus, right? It takes it away from the focus and you can't grow spiritually. And then the third thing that it does, listen to this. Don't get offended by this, okay? If you are continuously offended in your life, you are probably a self-centered person. You pay too much attention to your own feelings. Now, I know in our culture that is just not said. And this is being taped, and it's going to be heard by a lot of people, so I'm expecting fan mail. But self-centeredness is being concerned with yourself above everybody else. We're going to talk about how to battle that in a little bit. But the first question that you need to ask yourself when you're offended is this. Is it worth being offended over? Is it worth my time, energy, you know, your psychic energy that you have? And is it really worth being offended over? Is it really worth getting my emotions in such a tizzy over this thing? Proverbs 19:11 says, sensible people control their temper. Offense is a temper issue too, by the way. Offense is a temper issue. Maybe you don't scream and holler and kick and throw things, but your temper is still triggered. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Overlooking wrongs. That's hard. I know that's hard. It's harder for some people than for others, but it's difficult to do for anybody, is to overlook wrongs. Why? Because we have a inflated sense of justice. Now, it's really not justice at all. It's self-centeredness. But we call it justice. It's not right that they should have treated me that way. It's not right they should have said those things. They should have returned my lawnmower in a better condition than they borrowed it in. You know, yada, 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 whatever it is. It's an inflated sense of justice that really is not justice at all. It is wanting to get our needs met by someone that can't do it. We want to have our needs met by someone that cannot do it. In the Living Bible, it says, this same verse says, a wise man restrains his anger and overlooks insults. This is to his credit. And the Message puts it this way. Smart people know how to hold their tongue. Their grandeur is to forgive and forget. I put all three of those together to give you a little better perspective on what it means when we say we need to overlook faults, we need to overlook sins, we need to overlook things like that. Sins are God's business. We're going to talk about forgiveness in just a few minutes, but that plays a part in it too. But is it worth being offended over? Should I really be this worked up about it? If you stop and ask yourself that question, you will probably overcome a lot of offense in your life. Should I be offended by this? Jesus chose not to be offended by a lot of things in his life. Do you realize that? Jesus was offended a lot, but he chose to overlook it. When he was on trial for his life, he stood before Pilate. And it says in Mark 15, 3 through 5, then the leading priest kept accusing him of many crimes. How many crimes did Jesus commit? Zero. Zilch. Have you ever been falsely accused? Oh man, that hurts. Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing up against you? But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now I know Jesus was going to the cross. He was going to go without a whimper. He was going to go willingly. But still, he chose to say nothing in the face of offensive comments that everybody made to him. Jesus chose not to be offended. It says in Proverbs 17:28, and watch out, here's another keep your mouth shut verse. Remember that from last week? Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. So if you're not all that wise, there's a cure for you. Keep your mouth shut. Right? Now listen, let's put some practical application on that though also. How many of you have said something in response to an offensive statement that you wish you'd never said? Boy, we just want to get that last word in. We're last word people, aren't we? We just got to get that last zinger in. We've got to get that last little bit of information in. And we end up saying things we regret. And then we've got to apologize for what we said. And they don't apologize for what they said, which makes us even more ticked off. Keep your mouth closed. Don't answer the offense. Let God handle it. Let God take care of it. There's some helps I want to give you in trying to not be offended, okay? If you're taking notes, jot these down. Number one, try to see each person who offends you as valuable in Jesus' eyes. Try to see each person who offends you as valuable in Jesus' eyes. You know, tell yourself, Jesus loves that jerk. Jesus loves that person that just offended me. He died for them. That should change your perspective a little bit on them. The woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. You remember they caught a woman in the very act of adultery, and they took her and they threw her down on the ground in front of Jesus, and they said, the law of Moses says that we should stone her. What do you say we should do? And Jesus very simply, first he doesn't answer them anything. Practice number one, keep your mouth shut. And then they ask him again, aren't you going to answer us? And he says, okay, let he who has never sinned cast the first stone. The Bible says that they walked away. They didn't have anything to do with him. You see, they wanted justice, and that's what you want when you're offended, isn't it? They wanted justice. This woman had done wrong. She had sinned. She had committed adultery. And the law says, you got to stone them. So Jesus, are you going to go against the law? But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He was more interested in reconciliation. He wanted to love that woman with a godly, pure love. He wanted to restore her from her broken estate to her newfound faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. That's the difference. Do you want justice or do you want restoration? And too often, folks, we want justice. Justice is a big issue today. And let me tell you something. I believe in justice. I believe that's why we have a court system. It's not perfect. It's not wonderful. I mean, it's not flawless. There's corruption and stuff in it, but it's the best thing that we've got because real justice only comes from Jesus Christ. And the source of injustice is sin. The source of injustice is sin. And as long as there's sin in this world, there's always going to be injustice. And if we focus only on justice and not restoration, we're going to miss half the boat. We want to restore people. We don't want to give them justice as much as we want to restore them. Now, some might argue semantics with me and say, well, justice is restoration. I don't think so, but we'll have that argument later. We want to see people reconciled into the kingdom of God. Secondly, well, first of all, try to see each person who offends you as valuable in Jesus' eyes. Secondly, remember this. This is a great quote from a wonderful man of God. Everybody does what they do for a reason. You see who the wonderful manly guy? That is something that I have said over and over and over again. If you've been coming to North Point any length of time, you know that I say this all the time. Everybody does what they do for a reason. They are not born jerks. We're born selfish, but hopefully we grow out of that. But the jerks are jerks because something jerky happened to them. It says, Proverbs 15:13 says, "A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit." Proverbs 17:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." If somebody is offensive on a continuing basis, something has happened in their life that has crushed their spirit somewhere along the way. Something has hurt them so deeply that they cannot be kind. Find out what that is, and you've got part of the piece of the puzzle towards reaching their heart. But it helps with your empathy also if you discover what it is that hurt them in the past. And then ask yourself this question: why am I so offended? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Why is this bothering me so much? You know, I'm going to share a little bit of my heart with you here this morning. For the longest time in my life, I just had a real problem with children that were not necessarily abused, but just kind of ignored by their parents and not treated well by their parents. And it lit a fire within me. It just did something in my heart. And one day I was asking myself, why does that enrage me so? Why is that an area of my life that just seems to go off the charts with anger and, you know, that kind of thing? And as I began to think about it, many of you know that my birth mother kind of abandoned me. Well, she didn't kind of abandon me. She abandoned me when I was 5 years old, 4 years old, right in there. And that affected me deeper than I ever thought it had affected me in my life. It made me want to avoid that. I was projecting that on other people. And I asked myself the question, why am I so offended? I got the answer, and it's really helped me a lot to kind of keep my cool and deal with those issues in my life. You need to ask yourself the question, why am I so offended by this? It goes back to the first thing that we talked about. Is it worth being offended over? But find out, why does that bother you? Because you've got hurts in your life that you have also. You may not have noticed this, but I'm not a tall person. I know that comes as a shock to most of you, but I've been short all my life. Think about that. It's funnier than I just said. My dad said he'd go to student-teacher meetings and he could always tell where I sat because all the desks would be Joe. Just like that. But, you know, being teased about being short, I had to learn how to deal with that. I had to learn how to kind of make that my friend instead of my enemy. Why am I so offended by that? Well, I'm not so offended by that, but it's just something that I've had to learn to deal with, and I've had to learn to kind of accept. I'm never going to be a pro basketball player. You know, that's just one of the things that are real in my life. So, number one, ask yourself, is this worth being offended over? Number two, go to them. The Bible says go to them. In Matthew 18:15-17, if you're offended, the Bible says go to that person that offended you. If you can't overlook it, if you can't get rid of it in your mind and your heart, you need to go to them. It says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Don't do this on Facebook. Don't do this by letter. Go face to face. There is so much involved in body language and facial expressions and all of that kind of stuff that is essential to communication that you need. And besides, you will say things that you wouldn't normally say if you're not face to face with that person. There's just something like being in the presence that kind of adjusts your spirit a little bit. But you go to that person. Now, I know it says here that there's an escalation of contacts here. If you're unsuccessful, take two others. If they still refuse to listen, to take your case to the church. But I have never had this go past the first step in my ministry life of simply going to somebody. If I hear that I have offended you, and believe me, it's happened. But if I hear that I have offended you, you're going to get a visit from me. We're going to sit down and talk about it. And I'm going to apologize for offending you. And we're going to talk about forgiveness and that kind of thing, because I want that restoration of relationship. I want that same relationship that we had before. And I'm not going to keep sweeping things under the rug to make things all right so that we can smile and pretend that we're okay when we're not. And if I have offended you, I want you to come to me. I don't bite. I don't bark. I don't get mad or angry. I want that restoration of relationship. And so we need to go to each other in those times. Jesus confronted his offenders, and they were people that he loved. In Mark chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Before the disciples even really know that he's getting ready to go to the cross, he says, "All of you will abandon me." And Peter says, "No, Lord, no, Lord," Peter declared emphatically. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others said the same thing. We will never deny you. It's easy to say things when the heat isn't turned on yet. And I believe that they believed that in their hearts. I believe that they thought they were that strong, but they weren't. In Mark 14, 15 through 52, 50 through 52, the same chapter, the same time frame, they come to arrest Jesus. They come with swords and knives and soldiers and clubs. And Judas does his thing where he kisses Jesus to betray him. And they go to arrest him, and it says, "Then all his disciples deserted him and ran away." How many of you know that's offensive? I thought you were my friend. Anybody ever have a friend betray? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever have a friend betray them? It's painful. It hurts. It's like nothing is ever going to be the same again. One young man following behind with clothes only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked. He was so determined to get away and to run away that he ran away naked. And Jesus understood that. And yet he confronted his offenders. In John chapter 21, there's a story of the disciples after Jesus had gone to the cross, and he had risen again too. But he had gone to the cross, and now the disciples are wanting to know what they need to do, what's going on, what's happening. And they don't seek out Jesus, they seek out fish. They go fishing. And it says that it happened in John 21. You know the story how the disciples were out fishing, and Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the water, and they do it, and all the fish come up, and they recognize that it's Jesus. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they said. Jesus went to them. Jesus confronted his offenders. He went to them and he said, "Guys, have you caught any fish?" Well, they said, "No." He said, "Toss your net on the other side." And there were all kinds of fish there. And then look at verse 9. It says, "When they got to the shore, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread." That's how Jesus treated those who had offended him. He treated them to breakfast and bread on an early morning beach. Did they deserve that? Absolutely not. Not by our standards anyway. Did they deserve to have Jesus cook them breakfast? First he provides fish for them for their money that they're worried about, and then he cooks them breakfast. He already had fish going by the time they got there. I just think that says so much about Jesus. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish. They didn't deserve it, but Jesus served them anyway. Folks, if there's someone that is offended with you and they just won't listen to it, can I encourage you to keep serving? To keep loving them? Don't treat them the way they deserve to be treated. Because if you do, maybe, just maybe, God will treat you the way you deserve to be treated. Serve them. Love them. There's one other person that needed a little special attention, Peter. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," then Jesus said to them. It goes on, and he repeats the same question a few times, and Peter says, you know, and then Jesus reveals his future to him. You can read it in John chapter 21 later today. But Jesus went to the individual, and he said, "You know what? I love you. Do you love me?" Might take a little bit of guts to ask that sometime. Might be a little bit risky to say. "Do you love me?" "I love you. I love you." And then forgive them. Serve them and forgive them. Colossians 3:13 says, "Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." It's not an option. If someone hurts your feelings, if someone offends you, you must forgive them. I didn't say it. Bible says it. You've got to do it. "Well, I don't feel like it." Tough. Who cares? Forgive them anyway. "You've heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You know, that word persecution can be used in a lot of different instances. But what about the person that just continually talks bad about you? The person who drags you down. The person who doesn't like you. The person who offends you. How do you deal with that? You love them. You care about them. You bring them dinner just because. You take them out to eat if they'll let you. You know, maybe they won't let you. Give them a gift certificate. Say, "Go by yourself then." How do you treat people that treat you badly? You treat them with the love of Jesus Christ. That's how you treat them. Jesus forgave his persecutors. In Luke chapter 22, it says, "Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. And they came to the place called the Skull, Golgotha. And they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.'" Father, forgive them. Put yourself in Jesus' position. I know what I'd be saying. "You dirty, rotten rats. Don't you know I'm innocent? You're going to pay for this. One day you will stand before God and He will judge you and I will be there to watch it." Jesus cried out for their forgiveness. That is magnanimity multiplied. It's just unbelievable how Jesus reacted to that. He said, "Forgive them." Now we're going to close in just a minute. And as we do, I wonder if there's somebody here that as I'm preaching this message, a face flashes before you. Someone that has treated you badly. Someone that has offended you. Someone that has hurt you. And they don't deserve your forgiveness. But if you don't, you'll never be free. You'll never be free. I've got a prayer that I put together that I want us to stand together. So if you'd stand with me right now, it's going to be on the screen behind me here. But I just want to read this together. Kind of a responsive reading. I'll read part of it and then you repeat it back to me. Read it on the screen. And we're going to make this a prayer. This is a prayer before God this morning. So let's do that together. Say with me, "Dear Lord, I need your help for my hurting heart. I want to be free from the slavery of the offended. Help me let go of my offense. help me to gain clarity of the offense so I can understand the offender better. And give me a heart of forgiveness so that I can be free from the consequences of an unforgiving heart. In the name of the one who forgave all my offenses, Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.